You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant, biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
Welcome, church. We're going to be in Joshua chapter 4. If you got your Bible, I want you to turn to Joshua chapter 4. Man, I missed y'all last week. Downtown campus is where I was, which is great to be with them. Love downtown and Sienna as well. It was rocking last week, but the Loop wasn't going and Cypress wasn't going. And I just so glad that we can all be back together and connecting like this as well. We had two pine trees on our roof, which was a lot of fun through the storm. And then one of the pine trees actually went ahead and knocked down the chimney. And so it landed on the roof as well. But I just want you to know, Team Mott is doing well. The house is getting cleaned up. We're rolling in the right direction. Things are going good. So we're grateful for everybody's prayers and concern during the storm. A lot of people had it far worse than us. So, you know, I'm not claiming that we were the worst people in Houston or in the country. We've had a lot of problems with weather and such, but just want to give you a little report of that. And then also tell you that we're going to turn in our Titus journals coming up June 9th. So if you haven't been writing down Titus, that would be great to be able to transcribe Titus. Now, I want to show you, I said we could decorate the covers. This is what our creative services department did with their cover. That is not what mine looks like, okay? Mine says Book of Titus kind of crooked is what it says there. So people, you can go crazy with it. You could just have that. But we're going to write down the Book of Titus and we're going to donate them to Star of Hope. And it's going to be a great, great ministry to people that are coming into the Star of Hope to have a handwritten copy of the book of the Bible of Titus. And we'll jump back into Titus next week. And we'll have two more weeks in Titus. But today we're going to be in Joshua chapter 4. I wanted us to have a special Memorial Day message. That was just for Memorial Day. We'll get to Titus again next week, but a special Memorial Day message, because Memorial Day is a special time for our country. It's an amazing time for our country to look back and to see all the people that have sacrificed. Now, in our country, we understand the importance of memorials, of remembering things. Let me just put a few on the screen for you so you can just see and you can recognize these. These are great, great memorials. I've been to every one of those except for the Hawaii one, okay? Which means I've been to DC, but not to that place in Hawaii. But these memorials to give us honor, to give honor to those that have passed. And to say, we remember Korea, we remember Vietnam, we remember the Marines, we remember World War II. That's what this is saying with these four. Now, obviously, we could go all throughout every state, right? We could go all throughout D.C. and see all of these different ones. We memorialize things that are worth remembering. We memorialize things that are worth remembering. And we're going to see here in Joshua chapter 4, Joshua, the Lord's going to call Joshua. Joshua's going to tell the people, I want you to take these memorial stones out of the Jordan River, and I want you to set them aside because I want you to remember what I've done in this moment. Now, you've heard about Moses crossing the Red Sea because God split the Red Sea. But did you know that Joshua walked through the Jordan River because God split the Jordan River? Moses gave the mantle to Joshua. Joshua took the people into the promised land. So here the Jordan River, which is an important river, that's where Elijah gave Elisha his mantle and said, hey, you're going to take it from here. This is where Jesus was baptized right here. We're going to see the river split open. If you were to look at Jesus being baptized there, you'd see the heavens split open and say, this is my son with whom I'm well pleased. So let's look into Joshua chapter 4. Joshua 3 is the splitting of the river, but Joshua 4 is the remembrance of that. Look at verse 1 of Joshua 4, way back in the Old Testament, one of the beginning books. Here we go. After the entire nation had finished crossing the Jordan. Now just get that for a second. The entire nation finished crossing the Jordan through split waters. The Lord spoke to Joshua. Choose 12 men from the people, one man for each tribe, and command them, take 12 stones from this place in the middle of the Jordan where the priests are standing, carrying them with you, and set them down at the place where you will spend the night. So here we have this beginning part. We'll get down further places, but let me give you the first thing that we need to know. Remembrance unites us. Remembrance unites us. So it's wonderful on this day in America and churches all over America, but all over every little town, every big town, there's going to be Memorial Day parades. There's going to be Memorial Day thoughts. People are going to pray and give God thanks for the people that have sacrificed their life for our country. Remembrance unites us. Now, here's what I want to bring out to you. Did you notice that it said, I want you to take 12 men from 12 tribes and grab 12 stones? Now, that is unifying of the nation of Israel, right? Saying we're coming through is Israel, but Israel's divided up into tribes, and I want each tribe to take one of these stones because we're more than just all these tribes. We are a nation together of Israel. And so here they come, 40,000 of them are going to come through. That's what it says in verse 13 of this chapter, about 40,000. And they're going to come through, and then they're going to grab the stones, and they're going to be united through this. 12 tribes, 12 stones, each tribe united. The remembrance unites us. We need some unity in our country, don't we? We need that. We're so divided on so many different issues, and it's an interesting thing. We've got the election that's going to come up in November, and I've been through a lot of presidential elections now after being here 20 years, and it's going to be a noisy semester. It's going to be a divisive semester. It's going to be a challenging semester. That's just how it goes. I mean, you know what this is happening, right? I mean, you got it. You know, this side's going to say this side's going to say that. It's going to be back and forth. That's what's going to happen in this time. So I've already been praying. We've already got some great things. We're going to pray as a church for 24 hours from 7 p.m. before Election Day all the way to 7 p.m. of Election Day. We're going to pray. We're going to fast that time that the polls are open. We're going to ask God to do His work. We've got some plans. I've already filmed 9 videos talking about how to steward your vote. You can actually pray for that because during the storm, our servers that hold all these 9 videos went down. So we're hoping they still exist, okay? If not, I'm going to film 9 more, okay? And one of the things I did is all the videos were filmed at Houston Christian University here in our wonderful city. And I interviewed a couple amazing professors and I asked them, tell me about, you know, the politics of America. Tell us about the history. I mean, these are experts. And I asked this question, talking about unity here, I asked this question. I asked one of these guys, amazing guy, I said, has it always been this divisive? And here's what I was ready for. No, not at all. This is as worse as it's ever been. And he said, yes, it has. And I went, really? Tell me more about that. Here's what he said, and I thought this was really interesting. We've been living in a bubble of unity from World War II to about X amount, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, like that. And the bubble has now popped. And what he said was this, and this isn't, he was not promoting tragedy or trial or war, but conflict and problems bring us together. So my grandparents were the World War II generation. So they went together and it wasn't Republican and Democrat. It was we as Americans are going against, we're going to stop Hitler is what we're going to do. This is a big deal, right? And so they grew up arm in arm, shoulder to shoulder, north and south, black and white, whatever race, whatever age, whatever Republican, Democratic Party, whatever it was, we are together against the enemy and that unified our country. And so we had that unity that was there. And then we had times of other times that tragedies and such have brought us together. Then we had celebration of the moon landing where the whole nation was together and so proud. You had a tragedy of John F. Kennedy before that being assassinated where the country came together. And many of you may even remember these things. I remember from history books. I didn't live them. I wasn't born yet. Then for my generation, it was 9/11 and the American flag went up and we said, we're together and we've got to fight terrorism and our country's been attacked and all of those things. But what's happened is now in the last 20 years, and I'm not promoting it, neither was he, there hasn't been that rally cry. And so the division is formed further and further and further. And that I'd never thought about that before. That made sense to me, though. The bubble had been popped. And so this challenge had brought us together. Even you think about now, just in this week with the storms, what happens? Well, you meet neighbors that you wouldn't have met before. You're asking people at the grocery store, how'd you make it through the storm? You doing okay? Do you have power, right? I mean, it's just, we ought to wear buttons. I have power, I don't have power. One of the two, you know, because that's the question of the week. But it rallies us together. We see it when there's tragedies throughout our nation or the world. They'll say, well, we're going to be Boston strong or our community always comes together. What is that? That's through a challenge. And so the disunity in this thought was that we've had this bubble pop, and so now this disunity, and that's actually what American politics has typically been. But we wouldn't have been within this bubble. But there's unity in Jesus Christ, right? And here we see 12 tribes of Israel coming together, and we should have unity as Americans as well. We can disagree on a lot of things, but we should be Americans and unify together for our country. And we should be, as believers in Christ, we shouldn't have all these different tribes. We should be able to unify together and say the Word of God is the Word of God and Jesus is the Son of God. So this first thing here, I just want to take it out and I want to place it on the table for us to think about in our own lives. He takes 12 tribes with 12 stones from one nation and says, we're going to build an altar together to remember. Remembrance unites us. And so if there's disunity in your family, I want to encourage you, choose the relationship over choosing to be right. Choose the relationship over choosing to be right. If there's disunity in your heart with any aspect, choose to follow the Lord in that. Say, God, bring unity. We need that connection. We need those things. Now, here's what's interesting as well. There's two groups of people. There's the people that go through, and they're going to get the stones out by their 12 tribes. And then there's the priests that are holding the Ark of the Covenant, okay? So they've got the Ark of the Covenant. I mean, the presence of God is in the middle of the river. And when that happens, things stop, right? So they're holding it. And can you imagine being them? There's some faith there for those priests. I hope this thing stays. Everybody else is like, I'm running through, you know, getting through like that. And so they get through, and the priests, so we got two different groups of people, one that are standing there holding firm, and ones that are receiving the blessing. Can I just draw an illustration for us? There are those that stand in harm's way for us with our military all day, every day. There's those, let's cheer for them at every campus. Let's cheer for our military, our public servants, our police officers, fire department, everybody. All those ones, there's many people, they stand in harm's way so that we can go through in that way. And that makes a huge difference. Huge difference to be united in that moment and to say thank you. I hope you, when you see police officers and fire department, public servants, elected officials, I hope you thank them. I'm sure that you do. Just say thank you for your service. That's all you have to say. We appreciate you. Why? Because they're standing in the river while we're walking through safely. And without them, a lot could come crashing down. Now, I'm not saying they're the presence of God by any means, but I'm just saying there's a symbolic representation that we can draw from this. Now, let me give you a little bit of Memorial Day as well, just in my own family. Let me show you a picture of my grandfather. That is Harvey J. Mott right there, okay? That's my grandfather, served in the military, remember the Army. So National Guard as well, all of that. So that's my grandfather. That's my paternal grandfather. I called him Pop. He's with the Lord now. He's in heaven now. He owned a dry cleaners in Crowley, Louisiana. Doesn't that look like he'd be a dry cleaner, keeping that hair sharp and that suit tight? That's my paternal grandfather. I miss him to this day. Sweet, sweet man. And so I love him, and he's in heaven now. Now let me show you my maternal grandfather. This is my maternal grandfather. That's Vernon Taylor Evans. That's my mom's dad. And so he served with the Air Force. He was a captain in the Air Force, and he flew planes in the Air Force. And that hat, I want to show you. My uncle gave me this, his son. This sits in my home right here. That's his hat. That's the hat you just saw right there. And not only do I have his hat there, and I keep it in this glass box just as a place of honor. And so I have here as well, I have his Bible that he was given in 1926, given to Junior Evans as a reward for memorizing the names of the books of the New Testament from Mrs. Claire Clifton, January 10th, 1926. So I have this here, I have this little Bible from when he was a kid, and I have his hat, the hat you just saw him wearing right there. I have it right here in my home. I have a little study in my home, and so that's where I have this placed, right there in the study, and it sits right there. Now, why do I have this? I'm not going to wear this hat. I'm not going to, you know, it's not a costume party hat. Why do I have this old hat? I have this old hat because it's a remembrance place for me. It makes me feel good about our country. It makes me feel good about our family. I'm proud of my pop and my pawpaw. My pawpaw was the one here with the hat. I'm proud of both those guys. I'm proud of their service. I fly an American flag in front of my house 365 days a year. There's an American flag on the door of my house or on the post right by the front door. It's right there. I'm proud of that. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. That doesn't mean I put my Americanness, my Americana before my Christianity. I'm not going to heaven in America, right? It's a fallen world. I'm leaving America to go to where my citizenship is in heaven. But remembrance brings unity, brings unity. And we need that. And we need that in the strength and the heart of the Lord to be able to say, let's come and let's come together and let's pray. Let's pray for our country, of course, but let's be unified as a church. One of the blessings of our church, we have four campuses, but we are unified as a church. At every campus, there's unity. There's not a bunch of backbiting. There's not a bunch of gossip. Have you ever seen a church that's filled with that? It's ugly. It's terrible. It's a soiled bride. We have to protect the unity of the church. We have to protect the unity of our homes. We have to protect the unity of our family. Everybody's a little bit different. It's 12 tribes. They're all a little bit different. But there's those that stand there in the gap for us, and we're grateful for them that gave their lives here on this Memorial Day. The second thing I want to show you is this. Verse 4, look at verse 4. So Joshua summoned the 12 men. Okay, we know what that's about now. He had selected from the Israelites one man for each tribe and said to them, go across to the ark of the Lord your God in the middle of the Jordan. Each of you lift a stone into it, onto his shoulders, one for each of the Israelite tribes. So they're still represented. They still have their own identity, but they're a part of something bigger. So this will be a sign among you in the future. When your children ask of you, underline that, when your children ask of you, what do these stones mean to you? You tell them, the water of the Jordan was cut off in front of the ark of the Lord's covenant. When it crossed the Jordan, the Lord's water was cut off, and these stones will always be a memorial for the Israelites. Will always. Did you see that? Here's your second point out of three. Remembrance turns passing moments into lasting praise. Remembrance turns passing moments into lasting praise. So you have this moment, they're going to go through the Jordan River. And if you've ever been to Israel, the Jordan River is really not that big of a river. It's not like the mighty Mississippi. It's you get there and you're always a little like underwhelmed of like, okay, it's smaller than I thought it would be. But they had this time, and Jordan at this time was overflowing the banks. It was in the flood season time. So it was a mighty river. It's not, this isn't like they're just walking across ankle deep water. It's a big deal. And so he says, I want you to go back in and I want you to get these. So when your children ask, I want this to be a place of lasting praise. Lasting praise. They will always be a memorial to the Lord. Now, there's so many things that God does in our lives that we remember today and we forget tomorrow. And I really think it's a testimony of the humility of God that he lets us forget things that he did. I mean, he should be like, don't you remember? Don't you remember? Don't you remember? And he's so humble and most reverent. I could say that, holy and humble. But there's things that God has done, so many things in our life. I mean, how many accidents have we been protected from that we didn't know about? How many things have happened that we didn't know were thwarted? How many attacks of the enemy did God just end before they even got to us? I mean, how many meteors are headed towards Houston that didn't make it? I don't know. But the Lord is so gracious, and we're so forgetful, though, aren't we? We're so forgetful. And he says, I want you to take some things, and I want you to turn it into lasting praise. I want you to put some things together that show and symbolize this is lasting. This makes a difference. I have at my home called what I call a God box. Everybody in our family has one of these. Just go to Hobby Lobby or wherever you like to go. Get a box. Mine's about this big. And I have in it things when God does something. I just put it in the God box. I don't have to worry about filing. I don't have to worry about, oh, I need to put this on the shelf and remember this. I just put it into the God box. And every once in a while, last night I just prepped for this message. I just went through the God box. I just started looking at things. I've got different things, that events I've been able to be a part of. I have baptism day flyers that we've done here at our church and wrote down how many people we baptized. I've got the first flyer that was ever handed out to the church that said, you guys are getting a new pastor. And it was about us and our family. And just Grayson was like, you know, 2 years old. I was like 6 years old. I mean, it was like, so I was like, we were both crazy for me saying yes and y'all saying yes. So, but it's in my God box right there. And all of these things, just sweet, sweet moments. Got some bulletins of some funerals that either I preached at or went to, that's just, I just need to put that in my God box. Because I want those things, I don't want to forget about them. I want to remember those things, even the challenging things. I had a journal I put in there that was, when I went through a really difficult season, last night I picked it up. I probably read, I bet 80% of the journal just last night, sitting in a chair, just saying, God, you got me through that. I forgot that was a problem. Oh yeah, I forgot in that meeting. Oh, I forgot that. Lord, you got me through. You got me through. I just put it on my nightstand last night. I just sat it there on my nightstand and just went to sleep, just thinking about this message, saying, God, thank you for your faithfulness. I just wanted to sit, that journal, just sit on my nightstand last night and just remember, God's faithful. He's got me through it. He's gotten you through it. Let's take our remembrance that's just passing and let's make it lasting praise of God. Maybe it's a diploma that hangs on your wall and you say, I remember God got me through that school. Maybe it's a picture that's on your wall and you say, Lord, thank you for those kids or those parents or those families. Maybe it's a hat that just needs to be in a place that you just remember. I don't think about my grandparents all the time anymore. I don't see them. My pawpaw died when I was 2 years old. I don't even remember him. I only remember pictures. And my pop, he died when I was, I guess I was in my 30s when he died. But so I have great memories of him. I just got some stories with my pawpaw. I just got some pictures with my pawpaw. That's all I got with him. Now, all of those things, he's saying, I want you to not forget these things. These are going to be memorial stones and lasting praise. So we take a time out in our country. We say, hey, let's just take a time out. You know, people died. You know that moms grieved children? You know that dad stood at the coffin? You know that bodies came home with flags draped on them? You know that people ran into battle to rescue people, even to just get the dead body out of the situation? People died doing that. And for us to say, time out, hold on, put your protest signs down. Let's take just a breath of fresh air for a minute and let's remember what got us to this point and let's thank God for it. Let's thank God for it in a great way. Grateful, yes, for our country, but for so much more as well. So much more. For God doing his work. So they take these stones and they put them out and they put them together and they say, we will remember. It is not a perishable item. It's a true item. Psalm 77, verse 11 through 14. And I will remember the Lord's work. Yes, I will remember your ancient wonders. I will reflect on what you have done. I will meditate on your actions. God, your way is holy. What God is like our God? You are the God who works wonders. You revealed your strength among the people. And that's far, we're reading, I mean, America's not showing up for like, this is about 1400 BC. So we got a long time before our country's even showing up on this thing. It's talking about remembering the Lord, remembering God's work. Think about this week. If you lost power this week, do you remember when you threw everything out in your refrigerator at some point? What is it? Perishable items. You threw them out. We had to do it as well. You just throw these things. You hate doing it, right? It costs a lot of money and you're like, I like that piece of chocolate and I got to throw it away now. You know, I mean, it's just all, it's perishable. But there's imperishable things of the heart that you don't throw away. You don't throw away lives. You don't throw away memories. You don't throw away gratitude. You receive those. You take those. You put them in a God box, if you will, a God box, and let God do his work. There's a physical reminder of God's faithfulness. What is the physical reminder of God's faithfulness you need to put someplace in your life where you see it more? What is it? I don't know what it is. For me, it's It's a hat for me. I have the stone. It says just NW on it, which means Northwest. This is a rock. We didn't know what we were going to name the Cypress campus. We just knew it was somewhere in the Northwest. It was going to be in this plot of land. We weren't quite sure what, if Cypress or Bridgeland or what are we in Northwest, what are we going to do? So I have this stone here in my God box I saw last night. I had the Chronicle article that the bottom front page on a Tuesday of the Chronicle article was Houston's First Baptist Church is moving back downtown for the downtown campus. Amazing thought to be able to have that. I've got things about Siena campus in there. I've got things about Loop campus. It's just remembrances. I'm a sentimental guy. And I want a box, and everybody in our family has a box. It's our God box. We put things in to remember, and we look through and see what God can do. Now, here's the last point that we have here today. Remembrance empowers us to repeat the story. Remembrance empowers us to repeat the story. So we've said that remembrance unites us. We've said that remembrance brings lasting praise out of passing moments. And now we say remembrance empowers us to repeat the story. I want you to look back at verse 6 and 7. Will you look back with me on verses 6 and 7 of Joshua chapter 4? So they made it through. Now they're going to take these stones out, verse 6. So that, why do this? Why take stones out of a river? That makes no sense. So that this will be a sign among you. In the future, now hear this. When your children ask, what do these stones mean? I love the personalization. What do these stones mean to you? To you. Not just what they mean in a history, but what do they mean to you? We'll talk about that in a second. You should tell them the water of the Jordan was cut off in front of the Ark of the Covenant. When it crossed the Jordan, so when the Ark comes across, the water was cut off. The Jordan's water was cut off. Therefore, what's this therefore? Therefore, these stones will always be a memorial for the Israelites. Not 12 tribes. You notice they're back to one country. 12 stones, but it's a memorial for the Israelites to come together. Remembrance empowers us to repeat the story. We don't remember just for remembrance sake. We remember so we can repeat. The stones give us an opportunity to pass on the story to future generations. So today's an opportunity for future generations that maybe hadn't gone through a 9/11, hadn't gone through World War II. Thankfully, there wasn't a presidential assassination, right? With Kennedy then and then not further, all that. But we want good stuff like the moon landing, but those unifying things that we would be able to say, these bring remembrance to us, and we've got to connect the dots today. I want to tell you today on Memorial Day, sure, we got problems as a country, but do you want to live in any other country? And that's not just we're awesome. That's not what I'm trying to say. I'm just telling you, we are grateful. This is a blessing that we get to live here, that we are born here, most of us. And if you weren't born here, that the Lord got you here. I bet there's a miracle story with that. So we do this. So we tell the story. We say Memorial Day is not just about apple pie and ice cream. Memorial Day about people died. My pawpaw flew planes for the Air Force. My pop served with the Army. And to be able, and neither one were killed in battle, that would make it even further, right? That those were killed in battle. So we've got to tell the story. We've got to understand what's happening and the importance of what's happening here. But we've most importantly, please don't miss this. If you get that I think America is more important than Christianity, you have missed it, okay? I'm not saying that they're even rivals. I'm just saying we have this American history that we've got to be able to have here. But let me put this out here even more importantly. We've got to see the faithfulness of God. Right? Not just the faithfulness of soldiers, though we honor and respect. We have the faithfulness of God. And we've got to remember that. The God who's got you here is going to get you through. And let the Lord do that. And I love this. I love this. It says, when your children ask you. There's an expectation that the children would ask. Now here, let me talk to the kids and the students for just a second. I want you kids and students, I want you sometime this week to ask somebody older than you to tell you their life story. I want you to ask them, tell me something that's important to you. I want you to ask them, what's something you would want me to know? And I know, kids, it's hard to do that. I get that. I didn't want to do that. You know, I figured everybody older than me wasn't as smart as me, right, when I was young. That's just how it is when we're young. We think we got the goods. But we need to ask that and be able to understand that and to learn. And so it says here, when your children ask, here's the story you're able to tell. Tell the stories, older folks. Tell the stories, whether you think we're listening or not. Tell the stories of faithfulness of God. Tell the stories of what God's done in your life. Tell the stories of your family. Let the history of your home come down to be able to have that. That's an important thing. Kelly's grandmother lived 102 years old, and we sat there and asked her one day about, tell us about when you met your husband. And she told us he showed up in short pants, and she couldn't believe it. She thought he was weird because he was wearing shorts back in the day. And then she talked about falling in love, then talked about going to war, then coming back. I have his trunk. If I hadn't shown you I'm sentimental, money, I have his trunk that came back from World War II that had all his possessions in it. It's in my office here at the church. To be able to have that and to remember that and to see that, it's an important thing. Learn those stories, hear those stories, ask those stories, tell those stories, because if you don't, the richness of your family heritage, it will be lost. And most importantly, tell the stories of the faithfulness of God, because the younger generations is racked with anxiety, racked with fear, and they need to hear from us the faithfulness of God. I love Acts 4:20, for we are unable to stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. The early church, they were unable to stop speaking about what they'd seen here. They said, look, if you don't stop talking, we're going to arrest you. They said, we can't stop talking about it. God's faithful. Jesus is real. He's great, and he'll save your soul. What a blessing. It says this in verse 24 of this chapter, and we're going to wrap up. This is so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord's hand is strong. Why they took the stones out. So the Lord's hand is strong, so that you may always fear the Lord your God. God is strong and we should revere him. Our story is the same story, and it's this: God is alive. Jesus is real. God is among you. Put your faith in him. He can do miracles. He can split the Red Sea. He can split the Jordan River. He can take you into the promised land. He can take care of you. You just stay close to the presence of God and let God's presence handle the things in your life. Do you see it? And as you pass through this life, one day through Christ, the cross of Christ that stands in the middle to split the water of death and life, sin and holiness, unforgiven, forgiven. You can pass to that cross and receive Jesus as your Savior, and he can change everything from death to life. And then you will walk in, don't let it be lost on you, into the promised land with the people of God. Do you see the cross in the ark in the middle of the river? Splitting time. Our whole calendar is based upon the cross of Christ, on Jesus. Walk with him. Trust him. Remember him. So this weekend, we remember with great gratitude those that have given their lives for our nation. We remember with great gratitude all the things that God can do in our lives in faithfulness. But we most remember the Savior of the world, who he died for our freedom. He died for our forgiveness. So yes, we shout USA and thank you to the men and women that paid the price. But we praise and we lift up even higher, even stronger, even louder. Thank you, Jesus, that you died for us. Amen, 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 amen. So I know you got the freedom that America offers, but I wonder, do you have the freedom Jesus offers? Because his freedom's eternal. It's eternal. Receive Christ as your Savior. Walk with Jesus. Let him take you through the river. Father, we come in Jesus' name, Lord. We do give you thanks. We love you, God. We come not to just memorialize Jesus. We want to internalize Jesus so that we can walk with eternity, because you're inside our hearts, God. So we pray for that, Jesus. We ask you for that, God. Yes, we pray for our nation. Yes, we pray for the elections to come. Yes, we pray for our soldiers. Yes, we're grateful. But Lord, we pray, God, that you would bring revival in our nation, that Jesus would reign in our nation. Souls would be saved. Churches would grow. The Bible would be taught. People would see how wonderful you are, Lord. We as a church, we want to be kind of a memorial stone, if you will. Living stone is what 1 Peter says. It's a point back and say, look at the cross that can stop the river that'll drown you of this world. Trust him to take you to the promised land of heaven. If you don't know Jesus as Savior, this is your moment. Ask him to save your soul. Ask him to forgive your sins. Place your faith and trust in him alone. If you do know him, just take another step today. Lastly, what's a memorial stone of the faithfulness of God that you could tell somebody this week? Story you could tell. Something to put on the mantle. Something to remember God's faithfulness. A journal entry to write. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us at one of our four locations, at The Loop, Cypress, Downtown, or Siena. Follow us on social media or visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.